Hi, and welcome to Ask the Horse Live. I'm your host, Haley Kerstetter, digital editor at thehorse.com. Maintaining healthy joints in young horses lays the groundwork for long-term soundness and performance. Proper nutrition supports optimal skeletal health and development, while age-appropriate conditioning helps build a resilient musculoskeletal system. Regular veterinary checkups give your veterinarian a chance to diagnose and treat joint disease early, helping slow the progression of osteoarthritis and minimize associated pain. This event is sponsored by DECRA. To answer your questions, we are joined by an expert panelist, Dr. Charlie Barton of Colorado State University. Welcome, Dr. Barton.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, of course. So I grew up in the UK, just north of London. I was fairly close to Newmarket Racecourse. So I was kind of surrounded by horses since I was very young. I rode a little as well when I was younger, but mainly show jumping. But I think this early exposure to performance horses is what really got me interested in the horse as an athlete, and how we as riders and caretakers can kind of help them feel their best and then help them perform their best. And that was my part of my motivation for me going to vet school. And I went to the Royal Veterinary College in 2019, and then straight after graduation moved to Kentucky, where I did a year-long surgical internship, and then moved to Texas, where I did another internship, but this one was rotating hospital. And from there, I got my residency at CSU in equine surgery and lameness, where I finished last July. I got pretty interested in research during residency. I found it really exciting that we can develop these new treatments and techniques that will improve the outcome for our patients and improve us as clinicians. And I was fortunate enough to be able to stay on at CSU after residency as a postdoc and do research, and that's where I am now.
Awesome. Before we begin answering questions, I want to remind everyone of our Ask the Horse Live format. We're starting with questions that were submitted during registration. If you're listening live and would like to submit a question, please do so via the chat window. We'll do our best to get to as many of your questions as possible. If you're listening to the podcast recording of this event and would like to join us live in the future, please visit thehorse.com/askthehorselive to register for notifications. And with that, we're going to jump into our questions. So our first question is from Brian in Ohio, who wants to know if you can explain what osteoarthritis means in horses and can young horses develop joint disease?
So osteoarthritis, or OA, is typically characterized by degeneration of the joint. And then that will lead to, I guess, ultimately, irreversible destruction of the cartilage. So initially you get some form of inflammation in the joint, and that can be chronic. So it can be from repetitive stresses of the joint, or it could be an acute single trauma that causes that initiating inflammation. But once you have inflammation in the joint, it starts this self-sustaining cycle. So you get inflammation, and then that leads to some degenerative changes and breakdown of the joint. And then that results in more inflammation, which results in more degeneration, and the cycle can continue. And it's important to realize that osteoarthritis includes not just the cartilage, but the entire joint. So you get changes within pretty much everything. So the synovial fluid is responsible for lubricating the joint. And in a way, it becomes very liquidy and it starts to lose some of its viscosity. And then the joint capsule can become very thickened, fibrous, and this can reduce the range of motion of the joint. The articular cartilage itself, so that's the smooth kind of gliding surface of the joint, starts to get damaged and broken down, so it can't do its job as it should. And then the underlying bone will also start to remodel as well. And then you see those osteophytes or bone spurs on the radiographs. That's kind of the hallmark of OA for most people. So that, whilst many of us think of OA being a problem of older horses, sadly, we definitely see joint disease in young horses too. It's definitely not just limited to adults or older horses. And then in these young horses, we also have to consider developmental joint disease as well, as the degenerative joint disease, which would be OA. So developmental joint disease is typically people think of OCD, so osteochondrosis dissecans, and this is a disturbance of the process by which the bones form, essentially, and that leads to the development of some abnormal cartilage, and in some cases, you can get a cartilaginous flap that forms. And this abnormal cartilage can cause inflammation. And as we know, inflammation can start that cycle of degeneration, and then that can lead to and result in the degenerative joint disease in the future. There are other orthopedic conditions in developmental joint disease that could lead to later problems with OA because of inflammation in the joint. And all of this can, unfortunately, very much lead to problems with OA in young horses.
Jennifer in New Jersey asks what the common clinical signs of OA are and if they differ between younger and older horses.
So the signs of osteoarthritis are going to be similar between all horses. So we typically think of effusion of the joint. So whenever the joint gets inflamed, the amount of fluid in it starts to increase. And then you can see that as kind of pockets of fluid within the joint that are sometimes visible if they get quite marked. So you have effusion of the joint, you have reduced range of motion as that joint capsule gets thicker. And then also lameness is often the first thing that people see. I think in older horses, if you see like the horse is starting to slow down, or you're riding and he doesn't want to move forward, you might start to think more along the lines of lameness and OA quicker in an older horse, whereas in a younger horse, you might not immediately jump to problems with joint disease and might think more, you know, if they don't want to move forward under the saddle, that they're being lazy or something behavioral before you think about joint disease. So whilst the clinical signs are the same, I think the way that potentially we think about them are a little bit different because we don't always expect young horses to have problems with OA.
Allison in Virginia wants to know what age range we're talking about that would be considered a young horse.
So I think below 7 or 8 in this context would be a young horse. So horses will continue to grow and develop for quite a long time. The growth plates in the various bones close at different times. The vertebrae are the last growth plates to close, and often it won't be until they're 5 or 6 years old. So the skeleton is really maturing actually until they're well into the kind of 6 or 7, and then the muscles and tendons and ligaments are catching up with that. So they're definitely still growing and developing until they're into that kind of 7, 8 year old range. So I would call anything below that a young horse.
Lynn in California asks if you can explain what developmental orthopedic disease is and the common signs of it in young horses.
Yes, so developmental orthopedic disease is actually kind of a massive umbrella term for a lot of other diseases and disorders that kind of fall underneath it. So it encompasses any growth disturbance or orthopedic problem that we see in the young growing horse. And so of these, OCD, as I mentioned before, is definitely the most common that we think about, but there's lots of other diseases that fall under this. So wobblers, which is a malformation of the cervical spine, would be in this category. Collapse of the cuboidal bones, which are the bones of the hock and the carpus or the knee. Angular and flexural limb deformities, so deviations of the limb from straight essentially, and then flexural is abnormal flexion or abnormal extension. Subchondral bone cysts would also be in this category too. And then physitis, which is inflammation of the physis. So developmental orthopedic disease actually encompasses a lot of individual disorders. The most common that I think we see are in the young foal is going to be an angular limb or a flexural limb deformity. So signs of these are present from either present from birth or they can develop as the foal grows. And alternatively, they can also get better as the foal grows too. They can also be very subtle in some cases, or they could be really, really obvious, as in kind of the foal can't stand because they're unable to straighten their legs or their limbs are so deviated. This definitely highlights the importance of vet checks, especially as they can be subtle when they're born and then get gradually worse. It's definitely important to be working with your vet whenever you have a young foal so that they can monitor how the limbs are growing and make sure everything's growing straight as it should. If untreated, angular limb deformities can cause problems later on, so you might be more prone to osteoarthritis as the horse gets into work and gets older, if these angular limb or flexural limb deformities aren't corrected as foals. Correction for those is very variable. So, as I said, it's definitely important to work with a vet. It can involve anything from corrective trimming or special shoes, all the way to surgery in severe cases. The other two common developmental diseases that we see are probably bone cysts and OCDs. These are typically in older horses. So we see them typically as they're coming into work, you start to see the clinical signs, although they definitely develop much earlier than that during the development of the bones and the joint. So bone cysts, we typically see on the medial femoral condyle of the stifle joint as the most common place, but they can definitely occur in other places. They are caused by retained or thickened necrotic cartilage that sits in the physis during development. And then it allows communication between the joint and that part of the bone. So synovial fluid can get into the cyst, and then that causes pain, which we see as lameness. Often there's no real clinical signs until the horse goes into work. And so you might not know that they have a bone cyst until they start to do some exercise and you start to work with them, and then they start to develop some lameness and also some effusion, and that's kind of a telltale sign that there's something going on in that joint. OCD, as I said before, is a failure of ossification, so they also start to develop as the bones are developing too. And the presentation is very similar. Often you have effusion of the joint, but they're not always lame. And then when they go into work, they start to show signs of lameness. So it's definitely important to be, again, working with your vet, taking radiographs and screening for these things whenever the foal is around a year old, so coming up to a yearling, and making sure that there's nothing that needs dealt with before the horse goes into work. Otherwise, the inflammation that these things cause could definitely set off that cycle of degeneration in the joint and then lead to problems. So unfortunately, the clinical signs aren't super helpful with diagnosing OCD and bone cysts early. You definitely need to be proactive and radiograph for these, but often when they come into work, you will see lameness and joint effusion.
Awesome. Krista in Minnesota wants to know how horse owners can tell when their young horse is ready to be started under saddle.
So I think this is quite an individual decision. It's really hard just to give a set age that you should start working a horse under saddle. I think it also is quite a personal decision. A lot of trainers will think very strongly in different ways. On one end of the spectrum, some people might say you should wait until they're completely skeletally mature, which is up to 7 years old. And then on the other hand, people definitely start way, way earlier, kind of closer to the 2-year-old range. I think a lot of it depends upon how the horse is growing and maturing. So as a horse grows, they'll go through various phases of kind of rapid growth and growth spurts, and their balance is going to change as they go through this growth. So I think it's really important to pay attention to that. If the horse is going through a stage where they're growing really fast and are looking pretty uncoordinated and unbalanced, then that's not a great time to start thinking about putting a saddle on them. But if they're at a point where they're coordinated and looking balanced and their growth looks pretty even, then you might decide to go ahead and start them under saddle. I think having a plan that you want to follow is important as well. And then monitoring how the horse is doing. If you start working them and then they go through a bit of a growth spurt, you might need to back off for a little bit until they get balanced again and then start back up. So I think it's a very dynamic plan to have, and then truly depends upon the each individual horse and how early you decide and you feel comfortable with starting them, and then that in combination with how they're maturing as well.
Janice in Pennsylvania wants to know how turnout time can impact young horse joint development.
So we know that movement is very important for a horse's development. So horses that are constantly stalled all the time will often have lower bone density than horses that get turnout. So we definitely know that moving and turnout time is really important for their development. In foals, it also has the added benefit of helping them with some coordination. So if they're going through kind of a gangly stage where they look to be all limbs, or they're growing and are struggling with coordination, sometimes being out in turnout will kind of help them find their own balance and get themselves a bit more coordinated as they grow. It's also important, kind of as a foal's going into the young horse range, and also for older horses, honestly, to get some turnout. As I said, it's very important for bone density. And it's also important for cartilage loading. And again, we know that horses that are on stall rest and don't get much movement typically have some thinner cartilage than horses that do get their turnout and movement. So it's pretty important for all aspects of the joint to make sure they get movement. And then also the soft tissues as well. So turnout is very important for a young horse's development, unless there's a specific reason not to. I think all horses should definitely get turnout. And those specific reasons could be any of the developmental joint diseases that I mentioned in the previous question, or if it's based upon a vet's recommendation. So there are definitely some cases where stall rest is required, but ideally, turnout time is really important.
Lorraine in Alberta asks what nutrients are important for growing horses, especially when developing or maintaining healthy joints.
So there's a couple of aspects of nutrition that is important in development. So the energy intake primarily, so the amount that the horse is eating is important. We know that growth rate is associated with the development of OCD. So horses that grow really, really fast are more likely to develop OCD, as well as other developmental joint disease problems. And this is primarily because they have an excessive intake of carbohydrates. So they're eating lots of grain or concentrates. And it's not only linked to that kind of excessive intake of food, but also the hormonal response to that. So we know that insulin and thyroid hormones are really important for horses' growth and development. And that's definitely affected by the amount that they're eating. So one side of it is making sure that they're getting enough energy and not too much energy. And then the other side is what's in the food. So making sure that the minerals and trace elements are balanced as well. So in horses, copper, calcium, and phosphorus are all really important. So low copper levels are linked to the development of OCD in some studies. So some studies show that horses that developed OCD were more likely to have low copper compared to their counterparts. But this isn't very consistent across studies. There's some studies that have found that there was no link. And then other studies have found that the amount of copper that the mare has, so prenatal supplementation of copper to the mare, can also play a role in the development of OCD in the foal later. And then calcium and phosphorus are important for bone development and the bone metabolism. Severe abnormalities of that calcium and phosphorus balance can cause disorders of the bone, and they can develop incorrectly. Typically, it takes very high mismatches of the two. So, 4 times the recommended amount of phosphorus has been shown to cause lesions such as OCD. It doesn't mean to say that mild imbalances aren't having small problems, but typically it takes quite a lot of phosphorus to cause a problem. And then I think the other thing, whenever you're thinking about nutrition and trying to decide if the diet that you're feeding your horse is balanced, is to make sure that you're considering both the grain and the concentrates that you're feeding and assess what's in those. But also don't forget to think about the hay that you're feeding too. And often we don't really know exactly what's in the hay that we're feeding. So if nutrition is something you're concerned about and want to make sure that you know exactly what you're feeding, it's definitely worth getting the hay analyzed and making sure that you know what's in your hay and know what's in your concentrates, and then coming up with a nutrition plan from there.
Sydney in Maine asks if it's appropriate to start a young horse on joint supplements. If so, how can she choose a high quality joint supplement?
There's a lot of joint supplements out there, and they're definitely not all equal. So if you are thinking of going down the joint supplement road, it's definitely worth talking to your vet and getting their recommendations and figuring out a plan that's right for your horse, based upon your vet, who's going to know your horse well too. If you have a young horse that's competing already and is already doing quite a lot of work, and you're concerned about doing something to help protect their joint, you may decide that a joint supplement is where you want to start. So, making sure, as I said, doing your research, making sure that you know what's in the supplement that you decide, is really important. So, the two main ingredients I think that are probably the most studied is chondroitin and glucosamine. And there's definitely evidence that supports their use as an oral supplement. So the components of these are thought to slow down the degradation of cartilage, help to reduce inflammation in the joint, and in some studies it shows that they are clinically effective, especially in some human studies. But then unfortunately other studies show that there's actually no real benefit. So chondroitin is actually fairly bioavailable, which is important. So that means whenever you feed it orally, it's actually absorbed by the horse, and then it can reach the synovial fluid and the cartilage. And an anti-inflammatory effect and also improved lameness has been shown in some studies. Glucosamine is slightly less bioavailable than the chondroitin, but again, lab data shows that it's pretty great at slowing down some degenerative changes and reducing inflammation, preventing the breakdown of cartilage. And then in some human studies, it shows that there's no real effect. So I think in part, the jury's still out on those. There's definitely potentially some benefit. So if you're concerned, you can definitely try a joint supplement. The good thing is that these are shown to be very safe, so there's no harm in trying them, and they may definitely provide some benefit too. There's definitely other ingredients out there. So turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. It has quite poor bioavailability though, but is definitely a good anti-inflammatory. You have omega-3 fatty acids, which can be beneficial as well. And then HA, so hyaluronic acid, it has, again, questionable efficacy when given orally, but could be of some benefit.
Megan in Maine wants to know at what age should horses receive a polysulfated glycosaminoglycan? Do you ever recommend it as a preventative measure for young horses?
So again, there's not really a set age that you would recommend to start. It really depends upon how much work the horse is doing, if the horse is out competing, if there's any specific joint concerns, if there's any history of lameness. So working with your vet to decide when you might want to start something like that, is very beneficial. It is very popular, so it's a systemically administered drug. So that means you don't need to inject the joint, and it also means if you're want kind of a whole horse treatment, it's going to be helpful for that because you're giving it systemically, so it's helping everywhere. It's also shown to improve collagen synthesis and reduce inflammation, so it's definitely effective if it's something you decide alongside your vet that you want to do, and could also potentially provide some protection against degenerative joint disease in the future.
Diane in Vermont asks if ringbone in horses is hereditary. Is there anything young horse owners can do to prevent it?
So ringbone is osteoarthritis of the pastern, and there's various factors in play here. So it's hard to say that it's purely hereditary. It's definitely got some element of conformational problems could lead to the development of ring bone, but also trauma, repetitive stresses with being in a lot of work or being ridden, and also instability of the joints, so soft tissue damage that makes the joint unstable could then lead to cartilage damage, which could then lead to osteoarthritis. The conformation that we typically would worry about for this would be a horse that's very toed in or has upright pastens. And I think that also shows how important it is to work with your vet whenever you have a very young horse, so you have a foal, and make sure that any conformational problems that are noted in the young foal are hopefully managed or fixed to the best that they can be, because that will then help reduce these problems later on. Inevitably, there's some horses that it's hard to completely correct, and then they end up toed in the future. And in those cases, making sure that you're paying attention to the foot will help reduce the onset of ring bone and could also slow down its progression. So potentially working with your vet to get radiographs of the foot to make sure that the toeing of the foot is balanced, or using shoes as recommended based upon the radiographs as well. There's not much, unfortunately, you can do to completely prevent it. Once there's inflammation and that degenerative cycle has started, you can definitely delay progression of disease. So injecting the joint with biologics or steroids can help reduce some of the inflammation. Biologics are likely to have more of a disease modifying effect, so they may slow down progression, whereas steroids are excellent at removing inflammation and making the horse feel better too. So, unfortunately, not entirely preventable. There's definitely things you can do to try and reduce its progression and also reduce the risk of it occurring.
Linda in Washington wants to know if it's okay to lunge a 2-year-old for training and exercise purposes before he is old enough to ride.
So lunging is definitely very popular for young horses, but it definitely unfortunately comes with some problems. So it can be hard for the horse to balance whenever you're lunging. If you think about them moving in a circle, they're pushing off with their outside limbs and then using the inside limbs to try and balance that propulsion that they've created. So you can imagine this doesn't create very even forces across the joint and actually puts quite a lot of forces through the inside aspect of the joint. And then it's the unevenness in loading of the joint that can cause problems. You're also, as well as loading the cartilage surface unevenly, it's also putting more tension through the soft tissues as well. So if you have kind of a wild 2-year-old that you're lunging to try and get some energy out of them before you do anything else, that carries a risk for acute traumatic injury, kind of going on the circle very, very fast, unevenly loading both their joint and their soft tissues. And then if this is something you're doing frequently, there's also a risk of chronic repetitive injury happening there too. A lot of it does depend upon the speed the horse is moving at, as well as the size of the circle that you're lunging them in. So if they're going very, very fast in a small circle, that's obviously going to be more detrimental than if they're going slow and steady on a much larger circle. So definitely the area that you have to lunge them is an important factor to consider too. If the horse is able to balance themselves as well, that's going to reduce the risk of having problems. So if they're pretty balanced, they're on a large circle and going slowly, then that definitely reduces the risk. The other thing to consider would be the footing. A lot of these round pens or lunging pens have some banking of the sand up the sides, and that's actually helpful to try and help balance out their foot and make the foot be a bit flatter in contact with the ground, and that reduces those uneven forces going through the joint. It is important to know that as well that younger horses, so and those kind of 2 and 3 year olds, they still have a lot of developing to do in their joint, and their cartilage is more prone to damage. So the younger horse may have more trouble going on the circle in the lunge than a slightly older horse does too. There's definitely times when it must happen. If you have a very high energy horse, and lunging is going to help make them more handleable, then definitely understand it needs to happen. But just knowing that, trying to avoid regular fast lunging in a short circle is important, and then potentially thinking of other ways that you could get some energy out of them. So thinking about turnout maybe, or even having them kind of loosen the round pen, that will help them be able to balance themselves if they're deciding what direction they're going in and how fast they're going to.
Isabelle in France has a 3-year-old dressage horse with long hind pasterns. Does this conformation affect his risk of developing joint disease? And if so, how?
So, pastern length may predispose to some musculoskeletal problems. It's important to think as well that not every horse with long pasterns is going to have problems. It depends on a whole host of other things too, how much work the horse is doing, how balanced they are, how strong their other muscles in their hind end are. So there's a lot that goes into play to determine if they're going to develop problems. But it definitely does, unfortunately, predispose to osteoarthritis of the fetlock joint. And then it also puts extra strain on some of the other soft tissues in the area too. So the flexor tendons, the suspensory ligament as well that runs down the back of the leg, and the sesamoid bone. So there's unfortunately both soft tissues that are put under extra strain and also joint problems too. This is another case where it's really important to keep the foot well balanced. So talking to your vet, getting radiographs, and making sure that the foot angles are good, and trimming accordingly, or using shoes as needed. And working with your vet as well, if there are problems with the development of OA in the fetlock, then again, you have joint injections like biologics that can help slow down the progression of the disease. So, unfortunately, whilst it does predispose to some problems, it doesn't always. And there's definitely management strategies that can help reduce the impact that it has.
Danita in Colorado has a 3-year-old that she ponies to give him experience without the physical stress of riding. Is this safer for his joints, and should he receive any preventative joint care?
So yes, that is a great way to get exercise in. It avoids all those tight turns I was talking about with lunging, and it helps to keep them. You can pony them in a straight line, and up hills is great as well. It helps to strengthen the hind end muscles. Again, it's important to tailor it to the horse. And make sure that you're not doing too much too soon, and gradually increasing any work that they're doing. But ponying is definitely a good way to get some work into a youngster without having to lunge them and having tight turns. The prevention, any preventative joint care, it again depends on if there's any specific reason for it. So if there's any concerns, it's definitely worth talking to your vet and determining if anything is required. If there's no specific concern, then unless you potentially are thinking about starting on an oral supplement, there's really no real need to be doing anything unless there's concerns.
David in Kentucky wants to know how veterinarians can determine a yearling's bone health and identify potential problems.
So yearlings is often whenever you start to do radiographic screening, and typically you're looking for those developmental orthopedic problems that I spoke about before, so OCD and bone cysts. The mainly recommended is hocks and stifles at a minimum to be radiographed, because those are typically the most common places that you're going to see OCD and bone cysts, but they can absolutely develop in any other joint. So ideally, you're radiographing all of the joints to make sure that there's no developmental problems that aren't clinically seen yet, but as soon as the horse goes into work is when you'll probably start to see some lameness problems, and also effusion can get worse. It's important not to do these radiographs or screenings too soon. So in the hocks, new lesions can develop up to about 6 months old, and also lesions that are currently there can resolve as well. So if you radiograph too early, you might catch some lesions that are resolving and miss lesions that are just developing. So important to wait until about a year old and then take radiographs then to assess for both of those things, OCD, bone cysts, and anything else.
Diane in Connecticut asks when it's appropriate to start a young horse over fences. How can she do this in a safe way to avoid future soundness problems for her young horse?
So again, this is going to be quite individual based upon the owner, the trainer, and also the horse. So growth and maturity is again very important here, making sure that the horse is coordinated and balanced on the flat before you decide to start incorporating any jumping. Probably having a solid foundation working over poles or cavalettis is important as well. And then if you do decide to start incorporating it, making sure that you don't do too much too soon. So again, have a plan, make sure you're monitoring the horse, seeing how they're growing and developing, and if they're going through a growth spurt whenever you decided that you thought you were going to start doing some more work, then you might decide to back off. Typically, people tend to wait until we're, closer to 5 or 7, but there's definitely people that may start to jump earlier, and it entirely depends on the horse as well, how balanced they are and how well they're working on the flat. And you want them to have that solid foundation before you start to think about incorporating it.
Kristen in New York has a 2-year-old that is already very large. Is there anything she should consider when creating his nutrition plan to ensure he's growing at an appropriate rate and does not develop skeletal problems?
So a balanced nutrition is definitely the most important. Even if the horse is growing very, very fast, or is already very large, you definitely don't want to start cutting anything down or limiting the horse's intake. Making sure that the food that you're providing, both in concentrates and in hay, is balanced. So that might involve talking to a nutritionist, making sure that you know what's in your hay, or you know what's in the grain and the concentrates that are being fed, and ensuring that the combination of those are offering something balanced. Horses are going to grow at different times, so you're going to get those growth spurts where they seem to grow very big very quickly, but definitely continuing to provide a balanced and good quality diet is important. And if you're unsure that what you're feeding is correct, then definitely get the hay tested, check the concentrates, and make sure.
Karen in Massachusetts wants to know if lunging a 5 or 6-year-old horse daily before their ride to keep them quieter is safe for their joints.
So, as I kind of mentioned before, lunging does put a lot of uneven forces through the horse's limb. And if this is something that you're doing every day before you're riding, that definitely starts to add some risk to the potential for developing joint disease in the future, especially as the horse is still quite young. So in this case, whilst, as I said, it's sometimes unavoidable, it might be worth trying different ways to try and get some energy out of them. So more turnout if that's available, or having them kind of free in the round pen and letting them decide which direction they're going to canter in and how fast they're going to go. And then they can balance themselves a little bit better versus being physically lunged. The other thing to consider here is a horse that is tired, fatigued horse is sometimes more prone to injury. So the muscles get tired, the soft tissues get tired, they're supporting the joints a little bit less. And so you might be increasing your risk of injury through that mechanism too, if the horse is getting too tired. So monitoring the horse for making sure they're fit and monitoring them to see how tired they are before you get on them. And then also trying to figure out some different ways that you might be able to get some energy out of them before riding might be beneficial to their joints in the long run.
We have a question from Chad in our live audience, and he would like to know, can hills or different types of terrain benefit a horse's joint development?
Yes, absolutely. So whenever we think about that ponying the horse question, ponying a horse uphill or working a horse uphill will help build up some of the musculature of the hind end. And that can be really beneficial. So keeping them strong with strong muscles will support the joints. And working uphill is kind of good for the whole horse, which will ultimately be beneficial to the joints.
Martin in Victoria asks if steroid injections are beneficial for young horse joints.
So typically you would try to avoid using steroids in young horses. But that said, it also depends upon the joint that's involved and the specific reason that you are thinking about injecting the joint. It definitely wouldn't be something that you would think about doing preventatively. And if there was a reason to inject a joint, so if there was some synovitis, or the horse was lame and the lameness blocked to the joint, and you specifically knew that that joint was a problem, then you might reach for a biologic. So, something like an autologous protein solution or autologous conditioned serum. And these are helpful to not only decrease the inflammation that's in the joint, but they also have benefits in trying to reestablish equilibrium within the joint and improving collagen synthesis. And they can be beneficial in many ways, as well as just reducing inflammation. On the other hand, steroids are great anti-inflammatories, but also depending on what you're using, whilst they make the horse feel a little bit better, they can cause degeneration of the cartilage and they don't support the joint or the cartilage in the same way that a biologic would. So, ideally, in a young horse, you're reaching for a biologic if there's a specific reason to inject the joint. It's also important to realize that biologics are much more expensive than steroids. It can be kind of $900 for a kit to develop the product that you're going to inject with a biologic, whereas steroids are very, very cheap. You know, a couple of hundred dollars to inject the joint and all of the costs involved. So it's quite a stark difference between the two in terms of cost, which is definitely something to consider. I think the key thing in a young horse is that they've got a lot of a long athletic career ahead of them. So ideally you want to be avoiding steroids if you can. But again, important to work with your vet. And they're the ones that's going to be physically looking at the horse. And then also the cost is something else to consider too, if there is a reason to inject that joint.
Allie in our live audience would like to know, what are your thoughts on Clodronate for chronic bone inflammation in a mature horse, for example, in P3 of a clubbed foot?
So in an older horse, you may consider it. Bisphosphonates are definitely a big no for a young developing horse. They can make that horse more likely to be at risk for fracture and problems like that. So in a mature horse, you might consider a bisphosphonate, but it's also important to talk to your vet because they're the ones that are going to be physically looking at the horse and discussing other options with them and seeing if that's going to be a good fit to use a bisphosphonate.
Eileen in Germany asks if physical manipulation, such as chiropractic care, is safe for young horses. Are there any young horse-specific risks?
So it depends on the reason why you are considering chiropractic work. You definitely want to work with your vet to make sure you're finding a qualified professional to help with that. Chiropractic work is really great. It can help a horse that's in work that's kind of muscle sore or body sore. It can help with horses that have some referred limb pain. So if they're lame in a limb, and then that's kind of referred, chiropractic work can really help with that. It's definitely important to get a full lameness workup as well and make sure that there's no other underlying reason that they may be uncomfortable as well. So making sure that there's no lameness, and then deciding if chiropractic work is something worth trying. If the horse is doing a lot of work and competing at a high level, already quite young, then it might be something that you consider as well as kind of like a preventative measure.
Stephanie in Florida wants to know why a younger horse's joints might fuse. Could it be poor conformation, poor breeding, or too much training at a young age?
So typically, there would be a combination of factors involved here. So a joint fusing is a pretty late stage osteoarthritic joint. So many things would have incited that. It could be poor conformation, which is in part genetics, or it could have been severe trauma, or could be in an injury that caused instability of that joint that resulted in severe osteoarthritis. So any number of things could have initiated the inflammation that started the OA. Angular limb deformities as a whole can definitely predispose to problems, especially if it's severe, then you can end up with quite severe OA very early, and that could result in fusing of the joint. Also, crushing of the cuboidal bones, so the very small bones in the hocks, and then also in the carpus or the knee. They can be crushed if they're not fully ossified whenever the foal is born, and then that can lead to problems with OA, and particularly in the hocks, that can then lead to fusion of those distal hock joints. And then any other cause for osteoarthritis can lead to severe enough inflammation that could lead to the joint fusing. Typically, the joints don't fully fuse, they just get very bad OA. It takes many years for them to completely fuse. And this is also low motion joints we're talking about. So things like the Paston or the distal hock joints, high motion joints will not fuse by themselves. These joints tend to be quite painful until they are fused. So you'll typically see quite a lot of lameness associated with it if they do have severe enough OA that the joint is trying to fuse. And it's important to work with a vet again at this point. There's things that we can do to try and speed up the fusion because they typically get more comfortable once that joint has fully fused. So there are things you can do to help speed up fusion once you get to that point, and if it's early enough to slow down progression. So there are things you can do to keep the horse comfortable.
We have a question from Kristen in our live audience. She would like to know if her horse had an episode of hind fetlock phthisitis and knuckling over at 7 months old that resolved. Should she be concerned that he will have future problems?
So physitis is inflammation of the growth plate, and the growth plate is technically not in the joint. So the inflammation, and it depends how bad it was at the time, but the inflammation in the growth plate, if that has healed and the growth plate was able to grow evenly, then it shouldn't predispose to any joint problems. However, if the physitis was very severe, and there was uneven growth in that growth plate, or one side fused quicker than the other side, or there were other signs of problems in the joint itself, then that could predispose to problems in the future. So in this case, it would be important to be aware that there's a potential for a problem in that joint, monitor the horse, and make sure that if you do see signs of lameness or if there's a fusion, then working with your vet to develop a plan would be helpful. As I said, it does totally depend upon how severe the fasciitis was and how quickly it resolved, and if there was any damage to that growth plate whilst it was growing. So it's hard to give you a concrete answer based upon that information. If you do have the radiographs and all the information, you could also chat to your vet about their recommendations for things you could do to maybe reduce the risk of developing problems in the joint in the future.
Caitlin asks if performing flexion tests on young horses could be harmful to their joints.
So flexion tests are typically performed as part of a lameness exam. And so whenever you're doing a lameness exam, you'll watch the horse go on the straight and then you'll do a flexion test. So you flex each limb and each joint of the limb individually to see if that makes the lameness any worse. So your goal is to stress the joint and exasperate the lameness if that's the joint that's making them painful. So it's very, very helpful in localizing lameness to a specific joint and kind of determining where that lameness is coming from. Whilst it does make the lameness worse, it's not doing any damage to the joint. And also, it's not something that you're performing every single day. So it's very unlikely to cause a problem at all. And if anything, is actually very helpful for determining the cause of a lameness in a lameness exam.
Laura in Wisconsin wants to know if it would be beneficial to start her horse on a nutraceutical once he starts training under saddle.
So it can be helpful. It's as I said, if there's a specific reason you might decide to start oral supplements sooner, they are safe. There's no risk with giving them so long as you follow, recommended dosage, and pick a joint supplement that has research to support it, and is a reputable supplement. So working with your veterinarian again, seeing if there's anything that they recommend. And then the usefulness of it depends upon how much work the horse is doing, how frequently they're being ridden, how high of a standard, and then the benefit is going to depend upon the ingredients that's in it. And so it definitely can be helpful if you pick something that has some research support and is providing ingredients that have evidence that they're useful.
Patricia in North Carolina asks if starting a young horse at 2 years old could affect stifle development.
So the growth plates in the stifle are some of the last growth plates to close. Typically, they don't close radiographically until 2 to 2.5 years. But the period of rapid growth in this growth plate is definitely quite a bit prior to this. So the majority of the growth has already been done by 2 years old, and the joint has developed. So it's unlikely that starting horse early is going to affect the development of the stifle, because at that point it's already largely developed. But depending on the amount of work that the horse is doing, it could potentially increase the risk for having problems in that joint in the future. So whilst it may not affect how the joint develops, it could affect the long-term health of the joint. If there's lots of work happening early, then there'll be inflammation in the joint, which then can set off that cycle leading to the development of osteoarthritis, so degenerative joint disease, and then lameness in the future. So in terms of de development, it's unlikely. It may cause, if the horse has like a OCD lesion there or a bone cyst that hasn't been previously diagnosed, and you put the horse into work at 2, you could see lameness as a result of that. But those lesions were already there. The work is just causing them to become kind of clinically relevant, and you'll see signs.
Peter in Massachusetts wants to know if there is an ideal growth rate for horses and if owners can do anything to ensure their horses grow at the right rate.
So all horses grow differently. They all go through phases of rapid growth or growth spurts, and then there's times that they definitely have some slower growth. So it's hard to pinpoint an exact rate at which you want the horse to grow. The best thing that you can do is make sure that you're providing a well-balanced, high-quality diet. both in terms of the energy requirements for the horse and also the trace mineral requirements. So the copper, the calcium, and phosphorus balance, make sure that's balanced and that you're providing adequate energy, but not too much energy. And so again, it's important to figure out what you are feeding if this is a concern. So analyze the hay and see what's in the concentrates and make sure that what you're providing is balanced. If the horse is growing too fast, again, make sure you don't reduce the amount that they're having. It's important that it stays balanced regardless of if they're going through a growth spurt. And if there are concerns about how the horse is growing, if the conformation it doesn't look right, if they look like they have some an angular limb deformity or something like that, then getting that checked with the vet at the time is important too before you think about nutrition as a problem.
Debbie in Missouri wants to know if there's anything she can do to prevent tendon injuries in a young horse.
So tendon injury is quite similar to joint injury in terms of it can be either an acute strain or an acute injury, or it can be a chronic injury that's caused by repetitive stresses. So prevention of tendon injuries is going to be quite similar to that of joint problems. So with lunging, for instance, if you're deciding to lunge the horse, making sure that they're on a big circle, they're going slow, that they're balanced and coordinated, because if they're going too fast, then they're more likely to get an acute strain. Warming the horse up sufficiently is important too. Strength and conditioning, making sure that they have well-developed muscles, and that's going to reduce the risk of getting tendon or ligament injuries. And also not overdoing it on an unfit horse. If you're just getting the horse started, then if they're getting very, very tired and fatigued, they're more likely to get a soft tissue injury than if they're a very fit horse that isn't going to have that same problem. So making sure you're paying attention to the horse's fitness, paying attention to their strength and conditioning, warming them up, making sure you're not doing tight circles are all going to be very, very helpful. And then also shoeing and trimming the foot. The foot's really important for any kind of lameness, and making sure that they're balanced, trimmed, and shoeing is appropriate for the horse.
We're coming to the end of our time tonight, so this will be our last question. And it's from Alex in Texas, who asks if the footing a young horse has worked on can affect his joint, bone, and tendon health and development.
So yes, the footing is definitely important. And so if we're talking about lunging and that lunging pen, as I said, having some banks can be helpful to help the foot hit the ground evenly and the horse to stay balanced. If the ground is very, very hard, so if we're thinking about turnout and the ground being very, very hard compared to the ground being very muddy, present two different problems. If they're on mud, you may be more likely to have injuries of tendons, and then the hard ground could cause problems of the joints. So definitely the footing is important to think about whenever you're thinking about working the young horse and making sure that you're not riding them in very boggy or muddy conditions, and also not galloping or cantering them around on incredibly hard ground.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, but we've covered a lot, and I hope our listeners have learned as much as I have. Thank you, Dr. Barton, for joining me.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to DECRA for sponsoring this event. Finally, thank you to our audience for listening and sending in all of these great questions. If you're listening to us after the live event as a podcast episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and recommend Ask the Horse Live to a friend. Until next time, from everyone at the horse, have a great night.